I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3 this morning. We're going to stay there for most of our study in Acts chapter 3 and 4 this morning. And as you turn there, I want you to imagine, you heard Tim read from Acts chapter 3. I want you to imagine being that lame man in Acts chapter 3. And I want you to think about the transformation that this man experienced. In Acts chapter 3, we read about a lame man, and we don't get it over until Acts chapter 4 and verse 22, but in chapter 4 and verse 22, we learn that this man was over 40 years of age. He is over 40 years old, and the Bible says that there's something that he did every day. He's a man who was lame from his mother's womb. That means he was not just lame from birth. He was lame from before the day he was born. He was lame inside his mother's womb. You know what our society today wants to do with those kind of babies, don't you? What if that had been done with this baby? Here's a man that for 40 years, over 40 years, was lame. Here's a man that for over 40 years could not walk like you and I have the ability to do. The Bible says that every day he had to be carried. Anywhere he went, he had to be carried. Look in chapter 3 and verse 2 where it says, every day he was carried. And every day he was carried by individuals and he was laid at the gate of the temple. Every day he's laid at the gate of the temple for one purpose. He is there to beg. I don't know how long he'd been doing this. You know in some countries that parents send their children out to beg for them because people have sympathetic hearts more towards children perhaps, and so they might be more willing to share and to give to children. Perhaps this man had been begging all of his life. But for sure at this point, every day he's laid at the temple. Every day he is begging. Every day he is begging for alms. All he wants is a free handout. Look in chapter 4 and verse 9 at how the Bible describes this man with this one word. Chapter 4 and verse 9, the Bible describes this man as helpless. That's what he is. He is absolutely helpless. He cannot get to the gate of the temple by himself. Somebody else has to carry him. He apparently cannot afford. He cannot support himself. He has to beg alms from other people. This man is absolutely helpless. But what transpires in this story takes a man who is helpless. Notice how he's described in chapter 4 and verse 10. He's taken from a helpless man in verse 9, where in verse 10 it says, "This man stands before you whole." In Acts chapter 3, God took a man from being helpless to being whole. How did that transpire? Come back to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John come along to the temple. And they arrive and they see this man begging for alms. And this man who's begging alms does the same thing with Peter and John that he does with everybody else who's coming into the temple compound. He's there at the hour of prayer. This is when traffic is going to be the busiest. This is when there's going to be a lot of folks coming into the temple. He's not there at any other time. He knows. He knows when to be there. And in Acts chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says that Peter fixed his eyes on him with John, and Peter said, "Look at us." So the man, the beggar, gave his attention in verse 5 to Peter and John. He gave his attention to them, expecting what in verse 5? Well, he's expecting to receive something from them. He asked for a thing. He asked for some alms. He was expecting to receive something from them. But he did not receive what he wanted to receive. He did not receive what he had been asking to receive. He did not receive what he had been asking for all of those years to receive. What does Peter say to him in verse 6? In Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, "Then Peter said to him, 'Silver and gold have I none. But what good are you to me then? You know, I'm sitting here and what I want is silver and gold. What I want are things. What I want is money. And this guy says, look at me. I look at him expecting to receive something. And the guy says to me, I don't have anything for you. I don't have anything that you want. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, that I will give to you. What I have, I will give to you. And so he says to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. And in verse 7, the Bible says that Peter took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Here is a man who had been lame for over 40 years, his entire life. He'd never walked a single day of his life. And here, when he's made whole, he receives strength in verse 7. Here is a man who had to be carried everywhere he went. But what does verse 8 tell us? He had to be carried everywhere he went. But in verse 8, the Bible says he began walking. Here was a man that when he was helpless, he had to be laid at the gate of the temple. But in verse 8, he's not laid there anymore. He is leaping for joy at what has transpired. Here's a man who was begging alms all of his life in verse 2. But you get down to verse 8, and he's not begging anymore. He is walking and leaping. He is praising God. Here's a man who had gone from helpless to whole. Here's a man who had gone from lame to receiving strength. He had gone from someone who had to be carried to somebody who's walking on his own. Somebody who had to be laid to somebody who's leaping. Somebody from begging to somebody who's praising God. There was a transformation that this man experienced on this day, that down in chapter 3 and verse 16, I believe it is, where instead of receiving the alms that he asked for, down in chapter 3 and verse 16, he received perfect health. There was something about this man's day that was going to change the rest of his life. He went from helpless to whole, and in verse 8, to hallelujah, praising God. I don't know how much he knew about God before this day, but don't you know he's interested in God now? I don't know how much he knew prior to this time, but don't you know that God has his attention at this point? Brethren, we live in a world. We live in a world that is in desperate need of a transformation. Here is a man who experienced a transformation. We live in a world where transformation is essential. We're living in a world that is spiritually helpless. They're like this lame man was. And it's why this the theme of this gospel meeting has to be so appealing. Finally, some good news. Because we're living in a world that is spiritually helpless, deprived. Think about how the Bible describes our world that's similar to this man. This man in Acts 3 was lame. We live in a world that is lame in sin, is dead in sin. They cannot move because they are buried in their sin. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says that in aforetime, those Christians, that they had been dead in their trespasses and their sins. We live in a world that's like this man. This man was carried everywhere that he went. The little book of Jude talks about false teachers in Jude verse 12 being carried about by the winds wherever they go. We live in a world that's just carried around by whatever anybody will tell them. Have you noticed how easily we buy into things today? And the media counts on it. The media counts on us buying into stuff without checking on it ourselves. Don't salespeople? Salespeople count on us buying into their sales pitch without checking on it for ourselves. Why is it that infomercials, you know, dominate the television? Some channels just for infomercials. Some channels just for shopping networks. Why is it that if you get up in the middle of the night, all you can find on television is somebody trying to sell you something? Because they know in the middle of the night you're more susceptible to buy their stuff and not check and see if it's really true. We live in a world that's just carried about. Wherever the world wants to take me, I'll just go there. That's our world. They're spiritually helpless, just like the lame man. They have to be carried around. And just like he was laid at this gate every day, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, the Bible says that our world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Our world's just sitting there, having been lulled to sleep by the devil. Spiritually helpless. Carried about by everything that comes down the road. Ready for the devil to lead them in whatever direction he would have us to go. And while this lame man was begging for alms, we live in a world that's begging for material things. We live in a world that's begging for worldly things. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all those things that are in the world, they're not of the Father, but they're of the world. Those things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of these things, they have nothing to do with God. And yet that is what our culture, that's what our nation is bent upon pursuing. Our world, while being spiritually helpless, our world's desperate need is to be made spiritually whole. How can that happen? How can our world, how can our nation, how can our friends go from spiritually helpless to be spiritually whole? How can they experience some good news? I suggest to you that that transformation that this man experienced in Acts 3, that transformation that is so essential to our world today, that transformation can only be affected in the same way that it was in Acts 3. Go back to Acts 3 and verse 6 is our key. In Acts 3 and verse 6, this man was not transformed. He was not transformed by his own goodness. This man was not transformed by something that he could do himself. He was not made whole because of something that was within him that was so good it could make him a better person. It had nothing to do with what he could do for himself. This man did not go from helpless to whole. He did not go there because he received what he wanted. Imagine if he had received from Peter and John what he wanted. Imagine that Peter did have silver and gold in his pocket and just gave it to him freely, all that he had. Guess what? That man is still not transformed. That man is still the same lame man that he was the day before. No, this man was transformed not because of something that was within him, not because he received something he wanted. He was transformed because he received what he needed. Look at it in verse 6. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's what this man needed. He didn't need alms. He didn't need money. He needed the name of Jesus Christ. And that's all that Peter had to offer him. You know, it could have been that this man perhaps may have rejected. Well, I don't want what you've got. But he needed it. We live in a world that the only way that transformation is ever going to come about, the only way it's ever going to be affected is by the name of Jesus Christ, by His authority. That's what He says, in the name of Jesus Christ, by His power, by His authority. Go to chapter 4. Look in chapter 4 and verse 7. Peter and John are arrested in chapter 4 because they healed this lame man and they were preaching about Jesus. And you go to chapter 4 and verse 7, they're put on trial. In chapter 4 and verse 7, they are asked the question, by what power or by what name? Do you see that in your verse? By what power or by what name? By what authority have you done this? Who gave you the right to do what you have done? Look at what Peter says in verse 10. He answers their question. They ask, by what name, by what power have you done this? And down in verse 10 he says, let it be known unto you. You want to know where this came from? Down in chapter 4 and verse 10. He says, let it be known to you all and to all the house of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, not by the name of Peter, not by the power of Peter and John, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. That one. The man, by the name of the man that you hung on a cross, whom God raised him from the dead, by him this man stands before you, not helpless, but now he's whole. Brethren, the only way that our world is going to be transformed is in the name of Jesus. Our world cannot even be saved without the name of Jesus. Go back to Acts chapter 2. Go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. As Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, he quotes from the book of Joel, and this very important verse from the book of Joel, Joel chapter 2, here it is in Acts 2 and verse 21, says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on, what do you have in your Bible? On the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation was not going to come by any other means than the name of the Lord. By His authority, by His power, by His word. These individuals were not going to be saved by Peter sharing with them his own opinion or his own thoughts. He said the only way you're going to be saved is by the name of the Lord. Now drop down to verse 38. Acts chapter 2, we have the same concept. Tie verse 21 in with verse 38 in your Bible. They asked him in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? We've crucified the Son of God. And in verse 38, Peter says, repent, and let every one of you be baptized, how? In the name of Jesus Christ. Don't overlook that. Don't just think that that's something they threw in to make it sound good. That is the essential part of transformation. They could not be saved in verse 21 without calling upon the name of the Lord. They could not be saved. They could not have the remission of sins in verse 38 without repenting and being baptized into, by the name of, by the authority of Jesus Christ. That is what is going to change our world. That's the only thing that can transform our society. Go back to chapter 4. Look in chapter 4 and verse 12. This is where Peter was asked in verse 7, who gave you this right? He told him in verse 10, it's by the name of Jesus Christ that this man stands before you whole. And then he puts this clincher. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. He puts this clincher. He says, nor is there salvation in any other. You're not going to find salvation in any other. You're not going to find salvation through Muhammad. You're not going to find salvation through Joseph Smith. You're not going to find salvation through denominationalism. You're not going to find salvation through Judaism. You're not going to find salvation through anything else. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you we must be saved. Salvation only comes through Christ. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved if you do not do what this book says to do. And in Acts 2, that's what they did. This man was made whole in Acts 3. Not by his goodness, not by Peter's goodness, but by the authority and the goodness of Christ. That's the only thing that's going to change our world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 11, Paul told those Christians that at one time you were ungodly. At one time you were living an unrighteous life. But in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, he says, but such were, past tense, some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. You know what the next words are? You were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. The only way for us to be set apart. The only way for us to be brought out of sin. The only way for us to be justified and be made right in the eyes of God is to do what the Bible says. One other point back in Acts chapter 3. Transformation was only effected not only because of and by the authority of Christ, But because there was a man who was willing to give to the lame man not what he wanted, but what he needed. Peter could have given him what he wanted. Peter could have reached into John's pocket. Apparently, Peter didn't have any money. He could have reached into John's loaded. Here, John's loaded. John wants to share this with you. And to give him whatever he wanted and to go right into the temple. He could have given him what he wanted. We live in a world today where there's too many preachers. There's too many people who tell people what they want to hear. Who share with people what they want to hear about being saved instead of telling people what they need to hear in order to be saved. And when somebody shares with another person what they want to hear in order to be saved, they are no more whole. They are no more saved than that lame man would have been if Peter took money out of John's pocket and gave it to him and walked into the temple. He still would have been sitting there helpless. He would have received what he wanted. He would have felt good about it. But he would have been completely helpless. Brethren, we have no right to offer any other plan of salvation to mankind than what the name of Jesus Christ dictates. We need to tell men what they need to hear, not what they want to hear, not what's popular to hear, not what everybody else is saying, not what's drawing in the big crowds. We need to tell people in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, here's what you need to do to be saved. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And to believe that, not just a little bit, to believe that with all of your heart. To be fully convinced that Jesus died on that cross, that He was put in a tomb, He was dead, and on the third day He was raised by the power of God. It is that message, it is faith in that message that will lead someone to salvation. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that's what it teaches. That with the heart one believes unto righteousness. But that's not all the Bible says. The Bible says if all you do is believe, that you're no different than the demons. James 2 and verse 19, the demons also believe and they tremble. There's more to salvation than faith alone. James 2 and verse 24 says, faith by itself is dead. We need to teach people that they need to repent. That's hard. Repentance is a hard step. Repentance is making up your mind that I'm going to stop doing what I want to do. I'm going to stop living the way that I want to live. If Jesus died for me, then I am going to die to self for Him. I'm going to repent. I'm going to change my mind about how I'm living, and that's going to lead me to the change in the way I'm living. Jesus said, unless a man repent, he's going to perish in Luke 13 and verse 3. God now commands all men everywhere to repent, to turn away from their sin in Acts 17 and verse 30. But that's not all. Bible says that men must confess their faith. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, that's the one that I'm going to confess before my Father. Matthew 10 and verse 32, but that's not all. The Bible says that in order to be saved, we saw it in Acts 2 and verse 38, that you must repent and be baptized. Be baptized in the name of Christ by His authority according to His plan. Not just be baptized for any old reason. Not just be baptized in any old way. To be immersed in water for the specific purpose that at that very moment you might have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus and to be raised to walk in newness of life. Brother and sister in Christ, it is our responsibility to teach that to other people, that that's what they need to do. And that their responsibility is to walk in the light as a child of God. To live faithfully as a Christian, walking in the light as He is in the light, thereby having the blood of Jesus that took away their sins in baptism, have the blood of Jesus to continue taking away their sins, 1 John 1 and verse 7. And that's what this gospel meeting is all about. There's still invitation cards out there. They won't be any good next week. There's people that you will see today. There's people that you will see today that need a transformation. There are people that you will see this week that they've got so much bad happening in their life, they finally will rejoice if they hear some good news. And that's what a gospel meeting is. It is a good news meeting. It's a chance for us to easily and joyfully invite others to come. Now, what that means is you need to be here too. If you're inviting people to be here, it would help if you are here to be here with them. But let's spend time this week praying about this meeting. Let's spend time this week inviting people to be here to hear the simple gospel message proclaimed. Colossians 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Everything we say, everything we do, it's got to be by His authority. We live in a world that's helpless. We live in a world that needs to be made whole. We live in a world that desperately needs saved people living lives that are not depressed and down about being a Christian and how sad I am to be a Christian, but to be like this man in Acts chapter 3. What did he do when he was transformed? He got up. He not only walked, he kept on walking. And every time you read about this man, he never sits down again. You read about him in chapter 4, and every time you read about him in chapter 4, all he's doing is standing, wouldn't you? If you'd been sitting all your life and now you can finally stand, what are you going to be doing? The last thing you're going to want to do is go back and sit again. That's what you've been doing all your life. This man had been transformed and he's walking, standing, and leaping for joy. As a Christian, are you walking? Are you standing? Are you leaping for joy? That's what our world needs to see. They need to see Christ living in us. If we can help you this morning, if we can help you to become a Christian, we can help you to serve the Lord more faithfully. Please come right now as together we stand and sing.